Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com.
It's good to be back, John.
We're back. We survived 48.6 miles.
Yes, we've had a long hiatus.
It was crazy, dude. It was intense, to say the least.
It felt really weird not podcasting last week.
Well, it was funny, during the 10K, because the podcast, whenever we pre-recorded it, we said, we're going to be running the 10K right now. I thought about the podcast. I was like, I hope the podcast goes up, you know, so.
That's the power of the internet and computers.
It is.
They do not fail.
That is very true. You know what also doesn't fail?
What?
Droids.
Droids. We now have our own droid.
Yes, we do. While we were at Disney World, we purchased our own little astromech droid.
Yes.
And he's wearing a fedora, an Indiana Jones hat.
Yes.
So
after the Star Tours ride in Hollywood Studios, it was a build your own droid station or something like that?
This is true.
Yeah. And so we found out as we were building our own droids, okay,
yes,
that if you buy two droids, you get a third droid free, and how can you turn that down?
I mean, there's no way to turn that down, Chris.
I mean, if you're running a moisture farm, an extra droid could mean the difference between life or death.
Dude, I mean, it's like, I feel like whenever you're running a podcast, an extra droid could mean the difference between life or death. So I'm going to take a picture of our little droid here. We haven't named him yet.
Yes.
I feel like it should be something like S0T1 or something like that. I don't know. I feel like we need to come up with a cool name.
Yes.
Like S0T2 or something like that. And we can just call him T2 or something. So
S0T2?
Because I feel like there's two of us.
I like
so
it.
It's stay on target too.
Yes, that's happening.
Okay, so that's what his name is. His name is officially S-O-T-2. So, and we can come up with weird nicknames if we would like to. Anyway, but he's going to be posting all of the podcasts from here on out. We're going to be scheduling them through him, and that's going to happen. So I'm going to take this quick pic and tweet it out real quick.
Ah, all right.
And Joker's going to be in the background, so...
So
just chilling back there
while we were in Disney World.
Yeah.
We obviously if someone hasn't or didn't listen to the last episode,
yeah,
we ran the Run Disney Marathon.
Uh-huh.
And
the half marathon.
We actually did the Dopey Challenge. You and I did the Dopey Challenge.
Yep.
Which is the 5K. It was Pluto 5K.
Yep.
Minnie Mouse
10K. Yep.
Donald Duck half marathon.
Yep.
And Mickey Marathon.
Which also consisted, like, if you, it's actually the 10th anniversary of the Goofy Challenge, or Goofy Race and a Half Challenge, which is the half marathon and the marathon. And that medal was really cool because we actually did that too. So we got that medal in addition to the Dopey Challenge. So we actually walked away with six medals, as it were. So it was a fun time.
It was a lot of fun.
Lots of running.
We got to go into the parks during those 4 days as well, 5 days that we were there.
We definitely did.
Yes. And we did.
Probably a little too much.
Oh, yeah. Definitely too much.
Definitely more than we should have. Probably were on our feet a little bit too much.
On our feet too much and got far less sleep than we should have. Both of those things happened.
Those aren't necessary. Jeez.
It came back to bite at least me later.
Oh, totally. Well, you know, it was one of those things, like, also, like, during the marathons and stuff, it was really fun to have all the character meets.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, during the actual marathon, the final, you know, the big, like, this is the big event that you're going to be finishing the weekend with.
Right.
I kind of was on my feet during that longer than I would have been if I'd run, like, a normal marathon.
Right, right.
So I was, like, on my feet for, like, two extra hours during that, too. So
right.
that was a hard one as well. But loved the pictures. Like, I couldn't pass up any pictures.
If you missed all of John's posts over the last week and the weekend, you missed out. You should go to his Twitter at JohnWright777 and check out all of his Instagram pics.
There's lots of great photos.
Yes. There are lots of great photos with characters that you love, like Buzz and Woody.
Yep.
Actually, we need to post one of us that's on my phone.
Yeah.
With Buzz and Woody.
Yeah. I that would be awesome.
We will do that.
Something else that is worth noting is if you're listening to this, like, on Friday, I'm actually going to be running the Star Wars 10K out in California on Saturday. So the next, so like, if you're listening to this, happen to be listening to this whenever this goes up on Friday,
yes,
then, like, next morning I'm going to be doing a race then, and I'll probably be posting a bunch of photos as I run that as well, because, like, I did this pretty much in real time, did all the posting in real time. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. I think my goal for the next race is to up my time so that I can get a better corral position so that I'm not so freaked out by getting to the end of the race.
Yeah.
There was a point in time in which I was 9 minutes or just over half a mile
before the cutoff from the very end.
Yeah, they kick you off the course and say you're done.
It's over.
I described it as like in my mind, I pictured, remember like that, whatever the smog was in Fern Gully?
Oh my gosh.
That came and like ate all the trees or whatever it was doing.
Super scary, dude.
I don't remember what that was exactly. Like, I just remember being scared out of my mind.
That's pretty scary.
And I was scared out of my mind.
It's pretty intense, man.
Very intense. So,
super intense.
We rode the...
That's probably not how it was.
No, no. They were like smiling women with balloons. Like,
it's awesome.
How is that threatening at all? But it is. We rode Star Tours while we were there.
Yeah.
We saw one of them, which is really cool.
Yeah, super fun.
That's the first time I've ridden it since they redid it.
Yeah, and it was a lot better. Like, I mean, we actually had, like, characters you know in it. Like, the first time, like, whenever the first iteration was, there was just this random droid drive-in and stuff.
Yeah.
This time it was, like, C-3PO and R2-D2 were there. And you just, you know, it was a fun time. It was a good one.
Yeah. I thought the story was more coherent.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was listening to some people talking afterwards, and I thought, like, okay, it's just three different things. No. There's, like, a first half where you're, like, doing something like flying around some ships, and then there's a second half where you're like on a planet kind of. And I think that those can be any variation of any of the three. So there's three of each of those. And so like somebody behind me was saying like, yeah, last time we saw that, or I think the second half of that was the only thing we hadn't seen yet. And so like it made it seem like they swap around.
So you can shuffle it up and stuff. So there's different adventures every time.
Yeah. That's so it's cool. Like probably, I guess, would that be nine different variations?
Yeah, nine different variations. And you can get any, you know, any of them depending on when you ride.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was really cool. And I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's where we've been.
Yeah.
I've basically done no other... nothing else.
There hasn't been that many other events other than lots of travel and then recuperating afterwards. So yeah.
I slept 20 hours whenever we came back. The day we came back, my wife and I came back on an early, early flight and ended up going to bed, then sleeping for like 7 hours, waking up, going to the store and eating supper and going back to bed like 2 hours later. So like it was just nuts. But yeah.
Dude, but super fun.
Super fun.
Yeah, so later in the show, we're going to be actually talking about GameStop. So this is getting back into the content of the podcast here. But we're going to be talking about GameStop and are they in trouble of potentially going under?
This is true.
But first, the news!
The news!
The news, Chris.
Yes. All right, so the big news that came out today when we're recording this,
today.
Okay? Today.
Breaking news.
Today. Academy Award nominations have been released.
Awesome.
So I just want to run down the ones that, the big ones.
Yeah.
The ones that are of interest to us and the world.
Are of interest to us.
Yes.
And by default, the rest of the world.
This year. So the way the Best Picture nominations work, they can nominate up to 10 movies. And last year, like they nominated 9. This year, they've nominated 8. Best Picture: American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash.
Okay, so quick, just like off the cuff, who do you think is going to win?
Oh man, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of these yet, and I will see all of them, and we will have a full Academy Award prediction show.
Yes, we will.
Before it happens.
This is true.
Right now...
which is like first gut instinct, just what do you think?
Yeah, like...
what do you think is going to win?
I don't know. Like, I feel like... I have no idea. I can't make that determination right now.
Yeah, it's hard.
I will say, like, the obvious snub is Foxcatcher is not on this list.
Ooh.
And which is really interesting because Steve Carell was nominated for Best Actor.
Right.
And... Mark Ruffalo was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
So why wouldn't the picture be nominated?
Right.
Yeah.
So we have actor in a leading role, Steve Carell, Foxcatcher, Bradley Cooper, American Sniper, Benedict Cumberbatch, The Imitation Game, Michael Keaton, Birdman, Eddie Redmayne, The Theory of Everything. Actress in a leading role, Marion Cotillard, 2 Days, 1 Night, Felicity Jones, The Theory of Everything, Julianne Moore, Still Alice, Rosamund Pike, Gone Girl, Reese Witherspoon, Wild. Actor in a supporting role, Robert Duvall, The Judge, Ethan Hawke, Boyhood, Edward Norton, Birdman, Mark Ruffalo, Foxcatcher, J.K. Simmons, Whiplash. It's I kind of brushed over it for a second, but it's worth noting that for Best Actor, Michael Keaton was nominated, his first nomination ever.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm hoping that he wins. Like, that's the thing. I don't know if Birdman will actually win Best Picture, because I would rather Michael Keaton win for Best Actor. So,
yeah.
I mean, like, that's kind of like my thing is immediately off that list. It was Birdman. Imitation Game, I feel like, could come close. So I don't know. We'll see.
I could see, like, the three front runners, I think, for actor in a leading role, there's Michael Keaton, obviously, Steve Carell.
Yeah.
And Foxcatcher, and Eddie Redmayne for Theory of Everything, for his portrayal of Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
We have actress in a supporting role, Patricia Arquette, Boyhood, Laura Dern, Wild, Emma Stone, Birdman, Keira Knightley, The Imitation Game, Meryl Streep, Into the Woods. Best Director, Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu, Birdman, Richard Linklater, Boyhood, Bennett Miller, Foxcatcher, Wes Anderson, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Morten Tyldum. Wait. I can never pronounce this dude's name right. Tyldum, The Imitation Game. All right. So here's a big one.
Okay.
That might blow your mind.
Okay.
And blew my mind.
Really?
You tell me what's missing here.
Okay.
Animated feature film, Big Hero 6, okay, The Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Song of the Sea, The Tale of the Princess Kaguya.
Wait a second.
What's not on that list?
I'm trying to think of all the animated films that came out this year.
The biggest one in recent memory.
Not Big Hero 6?
No. Before that.
But Frozen was last year.
Nope. I'm not talking about Frozen.
Okay.
What is the other big animated movie?
I'm losing my mind right now.
I guess this is why it's not on the list. The Lego Movie.
Oh, the Lego Movie.
Was not nominated.
Which
is wild, because it was the fourth highest grossing movie entire year.
Well, it also, like, it was very well done and very well received, yeah, like, critically. I didn't remember that had come out this year. I thought it had come out, like, late last year with Frozen, in which case it wouldn't win because of Frozen.
Correct.
But that's weird.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, huge snub.
Well, and also, like, okay, so hang on. It wasn't fully animated, though. Like, there were live action elements, and so maybe that's what they were thinking. Hey, it wasn't truly some of the most emotionally captivating scenes weren't 100% animation.
Maybe that's the voters' mindset. It was eligible for Best Animated Movie, though.
Right.
And yeah, it could have been nominated.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, well, 95% of the thing was animated, so, yeah, you know.
The cinematography nominations for Birdman, Grand Budapest Hotel, Ida, Mr. Turner, and Unbroken. Costume design, Grand Budapest Hotel, Inherent Vice, Into the Woods, Maleficent, Mr. Turner. Documentary feature, Citizen 4, Last Days in Vietnam, Virunga, The Salt of the Earth, Finding Vivian Mayer. Film editing, American Sniper, Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, Imitation Game, Whiplash. Skip over that. Makeup and hairstyling, Foxcatcher, Grand Budapest Hotel, Guardians of the Galaxy. Music. Here's interesting. Music original score. Andre Desplat, The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Desplat, The Imitation Game. So he's nominated twice. Hans Zimmer, Interstellar.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Yershone, Mr. Turner. Johan Johannesson, The Theory of Everything.
So here's a question for you. Has Hans Zimmer ever won one of these?
I'm actually not sure. Has he won an Oscar?
Yeah.
We could do some research and figure it out.
If he did, this might be a good one to have win for, you know. It's
Interstellar,
like,
was a great soundtrack, yeah. And honestly, like, it was very tastefully done, you know. Like, it wasn't bombastic like a lot of his things, you know, kind of have to be.
Well, it's like, you know, it wasn't this big action movie either, you know. It was very I don't know. I mean, I almost think that this one was the most heartfelt movie that he's done in a long time.
Yeah.
And that wasn't like a superhero kind of action kind of flick. So, yeah.
Here, though, is where the Lego Movie did get its props. So for music original song, Everything is Awesome was nominated for the Lego Movie. Glory and Selma, the song Grateful in the movie Beyond the Lights. I'm not going to miss you in Glenn Campbell, All We Me, Lost Stars, and the movie Begin Again. We also have a production design, Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Interstellar, Into the Woods, Mr. Turner.
Looks like he has won one for Lion King back in 1995.
Hans Zimmer did Lion King?
I don't know.
No, that makes zero sense.
I know, right? But it's on IMDb, so it's got to be correct.
That was
totally Elton John, that was Elton right? John. That's what I was thinking. That's why I brought it up, because I was like, this can't be right.
I don't know about IMDb on this one.
I feel like IMDb like is like the Wikipedia of movies these days. Can I just slip myself into like Interstellar like maybe, as like I supporting know. Actor?
That'd be awesome.
It'd be amazing.
You should. You totally should. You
should totally do that. Edit that sucker.
Sound editing, American Sniper, Birdman, The Hobbit, Battle of Five Armies, Interstellar, Unbroken. Sound mixing, American Sniper, Birdman, Interstellar, Unbroken, Whiplash. Visual effects, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Guardians of the Galaxy, Interstellar, and X-Men Days of Future Past. That one's going to be hard. That entire category.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be something between Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Interstellar. Those are the three front runners. Writing and adapted screenplay, American Sniper, The Imitation Game, Inherent Vice, Theories of Everything, Whiplash. Writing original screenplay, Birdman, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, Grand Budapest Hotel, and Nightcrawler. So those are the major ones. I skipped things like, you know, best foreign film and stuff like that. Those are the main entries and nominations this year. Interesting thing about it, I think, were biggest things were the snub of the Lego Movie and the fact that Foxcatcher is not nominated for Best Picture. Nominations by movie, Birdman gets 9, Grand Budapest Hotel 9, Imitation Game 8, Boyhood 6, American Sniper 6, Whiplash 5, Interstellar 5, and Foxcatcher 5.
Nice.
There's more movies on there, but they have less.
Hans Zimmer actually did do some of The Lion King.
What did he do?
Well, he did the score. So like the other people would write the tune, and so he did the score. Okay,
so not the music that was sung.
Right, so not like Elton John stuff, and not like some of the other stuff that was going on like vocally or anything. Yeah. There was like that first track or whatever. You know, yeah. So, but he did do some of the score, like the orchestral stuff that's in there.
Wild.
So that's nuts, right? I had no idea.
And he won for that.
Yeah, no, he won for that one.
What
that
else was
the
only, he been nominated
that
for?
Was the only Oscar that it had listed that he had won. He's been nominated a lot, but that was the only one that he had actually won score for. And there's actually cool. video of him winning that one. So
that's awesome. So it did happen.
So it did happen. Like it's on the YouTubes of him accepting for that. I just saw a piece of it. So I was like, this can't be right.
That's amazing.
No, but Elton John wrote all the vocal stuff and wrote the lyrics and, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah.
That's cool.
There's different people doing all that stuff. So, yeah. That's awesome. Anyway, fun fact.
Also, some news that came out maybe yesterday or today. So, back whenever Sony got hacked, in some of the documents that were released by the hackers, there were references to talks that Sony and Marvel had regarding Spider-Man possibly being used in some Marvel movies. Mm. And
but
the documents implied that those talks had fallen through.
Yeah.
And it wasn't happening. There's now a rumor coming from the Latino Review, which they get things, some things right. They also get some things wrong. Like they do have some credible leaks occasionally, so
yeah.
Who knows?
But as always, rumors are rumors.
Rumors are rumors, so just take this with a grain of salt. But the rumor is that Marvel and Sony has come to an agreement that Spider-Man will be in, get this, the Avengers Infinity War.
So wait, not the Civil War, which actually, like, if you look at the comics, the Spider-Man plays, I'm not going to spoil anything, but Spider-Man plays, like, this big, massive role in the setup for Civil War.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be in that.
The rumor is that it's too late for him to be in that. Now, like, that is predicated upon, like, okay, they've basically got the script locked in. They've got everything ready to go. They're, you know, like, I don't think they've begun shooting, but, you know, like, they're getting ready to start shooting. They'd have to rewrite things. That's assuming that these talks weren't ongoing and that this wasn't finalized a while back. This could have been finalized before now, and we're just kind of hearing about it. I don't know that I would make it, you know, if I was Sony, I wouldn't probably tout it out there as like, okay, like, yeah, we're letting Marvel use our characters, you know, like,
right. Well, so, it's because then it's like that tells the rest of the world that their characters are up for sale.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe. I mean, I think Sony and Marvel have a pretty good relationship. And right. It does make sense. It would lift both brands, both franchises.
Very much so. Especially because like it seems like the Spider-Man, like Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, is kind of like they're trying to wind that down to where they don't really have him locked in for another movie right now, right?
Yeah.
Like they want to keep that universe going, but they're trying to spin it off into these other other side movies.
Yeah, I don't know if they're trying to like – I mean, yeah. His contract is through two more movies. So.
Okay.
They have him locked in for two more movies. In those leaked documents, it was referenced that Marvel doesn't want Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. Like, if they were able to use him, they were going to recast him.
Now, brand new? Wow.
Now, I don't know if that means different Spider-Man. That just means – or if it even really matters. I don't know if they even explain it. You know, like, he just shows up and plays his role. Because, honestly, think about even the most recent – The Amazing Spider-Man – It was, you know, the second origin story. We don't really need another Spider-Man origin story.
Not at all.
You know, if Marvel gets a hold of him, we don't need them to do his origin story.
Well, and also, like, if Spider-Man shows up in a movie, like a team movie, it's the same thing that we've talked about. I think we've talked about it. At least, I think I've had this conversation in my head before. about the Hulk and, like, the Avengers. Mm. Where, like, you don't necessarily go to see Peter Parker teaming up with the Avengers. So you go to see Spider-Man teaming up with the Avengers. So you don't need necessarily this, this really well-rounded, well-developed, backstory character or his alter ego. What you want is Spider-Man. You want him up there, you know, quipping with all of the heroes and and just web-slinging. Just like you want the Hulk to smash a bunch of stuff. While Mark Ruffalo did an incredible job, portraying the other side of
Bruce
the Hulk.
Banner.
Yeah, I mean, by portraying Bruce Banner, it didn't really, once the action got started, you don't want to see him, being Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
You want to see him being the Hulk. So it's like, you know, I don't know that we need necessarily to see a lot of Peter Parker. You know, I just almost want him just to swing in and like do his thing.
And that's the issue with team-up movies is that you really don't have time for backstory like that anyway. You know, like you think about the Avengers and honestly, like it didn't have a whole lot of the most character development was with the Hulk between Hulk and Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like,
well, because you needed it, you know, because his character, we hadn't seen that actor in that role before. And also, it'd been how many years since the last Hulk? And it's like that Hulk was kind of like, you know, had got middling reviews from people.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just the Hulk has been a weird character for a long time. And so they had to fix him, basically.
Yeah.
Peter Parker, I don't necessarily see that as a problem. I see him just kind of showing up and doing his thing.
Yeah.
Same with like Batman, you know, whenever we were talking about the Superman versus Batman movie.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second.
Yes.
Let's put that on hold.
Okay. Go for it. But my point with that is you don't necessarily have to see Batman's backstory because we've seen it so much in the past 10 years.
Right.
Same with Spider-Man. You know, we've had two origin stories within, you know, the last 15 years or so. Why do we need another one? You know?
Right. Yeah. Like, and so it'd be really cool to see Spider-Man in this. My hope is that, yes, they've thought this ahead. This deal took place a long time ago. Like, he's in Captain America 3. We already know that, that Tony Stark and Iron Man are going to be in Captain America 3. So, like, hopefully he's in that movie. Like, that'd be sweet. Otherwise, he's going to show up in The Avengers, which is fine. Like, either way, this is a plus for everyone, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Whenever he happens to show up.
For sure, dude. Do you want to talk about the stuff about the Superman versus Batman?
Yeah, so, like, while we were gone...
Batman versus Superman? I don't remember
sometime last week, there was a rumor that came out that is now proven to be untrue, but there was a rumor that came out that Batman versus Superman, or Superman versus Batman, whatever it is, was going to be split into two films.
Right.
The first one would be something like Enter the Night, and the second one would be Dawn of Justice. And presumably, the first one would focus on Batman appearing and, you know, like, somehow his relationship with Clark and Superman, and then the second one would focus on the formation of the Justice League. That is not true, apparently, at least as of right now. And is incorrect. However, it would be amazing if it was, and this is why. We just talked about how like team up movies don't really have enough time for backstory, and like that's an issue possibly in this movie on a lot of different levels because we know what we're Introducing not only Batman, but we're introducing Wonder Woman in some way. We're also introducing Aquaman in some way. Like, we're going to be introducing a lot of these characters in a movie that, for all intents and purposes, is being marketed as a Superman-Batman movie, and I think both of those characters are strong enough to carry this movie.
Yeah.
And so, like, splitting it off into two movies would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Where you could have probably a better flow.
Yeah.
In terms of plot and character development.
So let me use this example.
All right.
So you've got a jar. So it's just a mason jar, right?
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're standing in front of a fountain.
Okay.
Of hot fudge.
Yes.
Mm. And of a big gigantic vat of marshmallows.
Mm.
And there's some chocolate over here as well.
Okay.
And you've got
different from the
some
fudge.
M&Ms. Yeah, yeah.
This is a lot of chocolate
and
things.
Yes, I'm just pulling candy off the top of my head here. You've got some jujubes.
Okay.
Whatever those are.
Beans.
Anyway, and so like you've got all this candy, but you can only carry so much in this 90-minute jar.
Probably 2.5-hour jar.
Yeah, 2.5-hour jar that we're holding. And so you can only fit so much good things in there.
Yes.
And it seems like that this movie just continuously tries to fit more and more and more and more into this jar that we're not going to be able to get a satisfying taste for any of it.
Mm, that's very, because it's all swirled together.
Because it's all like messed up and like you can't get it. Like there's maybe 4 marshmallows in there. So you don't really get the flavor of marshmallow because there's this peppermint in there as well. And you don't really get the full flavor of the peppermint because you've got this crazy chocolate fudge in there too. So like, you know, I worry about this movie.
I do too.
Very much so.
I was super happy when I heard this and then I was super bummed out when I heard it wasn't true.
Yeah.
But it was news nonetheless, and thought you should be aware.
For sure.
You know, we'll see how it goes.
On to some television news. And this actually comes to us from Chris Dennison on Twitter, at Chris Dennison.
Thank you, Chris.
Yes, thank you, Chris. Awesome, awesome listener. And anyway, so this is about Arrow, the universe of CW's Arrow and CW's Flash now.
Yes, which you should check out our Arrow on Target and Flash on Target podcast.
That is true. It is returning
next week.
Is it next week?
Well, the show is returning next week.
Yes.
We are not returning next
week. We are not returning.
Week.
I will be unfortunately out of town, and so we will be doing 2 episodes the following week that they air.
Each podcast.
Yes, of each podcast. So those will go up.
It's going to be a long night.
Oh, man. It's going to be crazy, dude. So those will go up on, I think, the 22nd and 23rd, respectively. No, not 22nd, 29th and 29th and 30th, respectively, probably.
Sure.
There's some news about potentially a Atom spinoff series, first of all. And this is an interesting thing about, like, we've been talking about the Atom and the character that is the Atom. It's Ray Palmer. And actually, the actor Brandon Routh was Superman back in the day on, like, I don't know. Was that 2000s? I don't know. Is this year 2000? Whenever Superman came out.
I don't know what year that was. Maybe 2001?
Anyway. So, I mean...
No, it was after that.
But he's been on like a number of shows and things like that. And then somebody asked him in an interview, hey, have you thought about the spinoff show? And he's like, yeah, we definitely thought about it. It's in very, very early stages of...
2006.
Of talks to do a spinoff show. But yeah, so that's a possibility. I don't think we'll see that maybe in the fall, this upcoming fall, because we're going to actually see that Supergirl series kick off on CBS. But maybe the following fall, or maybe like if we're looking at a truncated spring season, maybe. The other news is perhaps more exciting to me. I just like it, this one is something that is more up my alley as far as shows go. We have Mark Guggenheim is developing an animated series centering on DC superhero Vixen. And the project will take place in the same universe as Arrow and as Flash. But here's the cool thing. It's an animated show that would be on the CW's digital-only network, CW Seed, which is really cool. I mean, I just like it.
I didn't even know that existed.
I didn't know it existed either until now.
Is it all online?
I would imagine so. If it's digital-only, I would imagine it's all like either streaming or something like that.
Maybe you can inform me. I have no idea who Vixen is.
Dude, awesome character. And in fact, like the... like so we've had a lot of the Birds of Prey in the show, and so like the Vixen has had some crossovers and things like that with the Birds of Prey in the comics. Super cool character. Can take on different powers. Like her powers are she can take on different characteristics of animals and things. So you can, you know, that sort of thing. So you can, I don't know how they're going to deal with the powers, because if it's in the same universe as the Arrow and as the Flash, there's got to be some explanation, because they've been explaining everyone's powers so far.
Yeah.
Via the Flash's big explosion in that city, in Central City.
That's true.
So I'm wondering if they're going to use the same kind of a origin story, or if they're going to branch out and do something else. Because it was either the Marikuru serum.
That's true.
For super strength. But we've never encountered this type of power before outside of the Flash's show.
What do you think they'll do?
Man, they could do something like with the Flash's stuff, but it's like, if you're going to really separate this and make this its own character, I almost think you need your own origin story. You like, you need your own backstory. You almost need it to be able to stand on its own two legs. The poster for it that they've revealed looks super cool. It's got kind of this Young Justice kind of animated style to it. And it actually has the Arrow and Flash like standing behind her.
Send that to me and I'll put it in this podcast post.
Will do. But yeah, I mean, it just looks awesome, and I'm super excited to see it. DC always does an incredible job on their animated shows, and I guess just they do a good job on TV in general. So I'm excited to see this happen and see that universe expand.
Yeah, I mean, this will be the fourth show from Mark Guggenheim.
Yeah.
Including Supergirl.
Yeah, and hopefully Supergirl crosses over into this universe as well.
Fifth, if you include Adam.
Yeah, right.
Spinning off.
Right. I mean, if that spins off. Like, again, I don't see that happening next fall. I see it happening maybe in the spring, next spring, so spring 2016 or potentially fall 2016.
Man,
so.
If they're going to do it, though, like, I bet they do it next fall, man.
You
like,
think?
I mean, yeah. But, I mean, they are going to, because
the only reason I say that it might not, or that I don't think it will, is because we already knew that the Flash was going to be a thing by this time last year. And we already knew that Supergirl is going to be a thing, but that's CBS, and that takes a little bit more to like negotiating to get there. I don't know. I mean, maybe you're right, though.
I'll tell you, like, the difference is, like, the Flash, you know, honestly, whenever you say the Flash, it doesn't make sense for him to be just a part of Arrow, okay? Like, it's kind of like, well, why doesn't he have his own show? It doesn't it's not necessarily a no-brainer for Adam to have his own show.
Yeah.
And I think they had to see whether or not the character would click and fans would like the character before they give him his own show. We'll see how they like him in the back. And, it's nothing confirmed. I think we'll see what happens in the back half of this season, whether or not fans like him as a hero enough
right.
to watch a third, maybe fourth, fifth show now.
Yeah,
every single week.
Yeah, and we've talked about before. I think they reach different audiences, and I think that just the proliferation of this universe into other networks and other areas is kind of a cool thing. I don't know. I really like the world. We'll see where it goes. That's about that. There was also, if you want some game news, do you want to get into a little bit of game news? Some Nintendo news came out. They've announced the release date for the new 3DS, which we've talked about here on the podcast before. It's in February. And Majora's Mask has a release date. They've also announced, this is probably my favorite thing that has come out of the latest Nintendo Direct, was there is a new Fire Emblem announced. And that's actually one of my favorite games for a Nintendo platform, the 3DS. Fire Emblem Awakening was. And so this is the sequel to that. Doesn't really have a name, doesn't have a date, but it looks a little bit better. And it looks like they're going to come out with another one. So I'm super excited about that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Also, the new 3DS XL has been announced for North America.
That's right. And only the XL, like not the smaller version.
Yeah.
Which they asked, like there's been some people that have asked Nintendo why that is. And they said all of their individual regions, like their region heads, determine what the market gets and what their market wants. And the US, Nintendo of America said, we only want the XL, which kind of makes sense. I mean, if I think about like the competition with the small one is roughly no more bigger than your cell phone or something like that. So it's like, it's competing more directly. But if you buy a Nintendo handheld, you're buying it for a game system.
Yeah.
You want it to be big. You want it to be a bigger game system. And so the bigger size makes sense. That's the only size that I would have gotten.
I mean, I think there's a couple things at play here. First, you know, there's the kind of movement in our consumer market toward larger electronics. You think about the iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus, the large phablets, possibly it's rumored a 12-inch tablet.
I thought it was pahablet.
A pahablet?
A pahablet.
No. there's possibly
just a
12-inch iPad rumored from Apple. And so there's that. I also think that, like, they look at the sales numbers. Not everyone it's not like, you know, where you had just the DS upgrading to the 3DS. You know, I think there was a lot of confusion there at first. So why do I need this one versus that one?
Yeah.
But there's even more confusion now. Why do I need this versus that? Because they can still play the same games. It really just looks like a difference of a one extra joystick, which is not necessarily true. But not everyone who has a 3DS will upgrade to the new 3DS.
And that's another thing, like, about the name. Like, and I don't want to harp on, like, the name necessarily, but Nintendo hasn't been doing a great job with their names recently, because they've had this weird confusion with, like, the Wii. They came out with the Wii, and that was an amazing system, sold incredibly well. Everyone had one. But then they came out with the Wii U, and just adding the U to the end, it almost makes it seem like, okay, is this an add-on to the Wii? Is this just like a tablet? Is this a controller? Or is this some educational Wii?
Right.
You know, it's like, is this Wii University? Or, like, you know, that sort of thing. There's a lot of stuff going on there. And now with the 3DS, you just add new to the front of it. And it's, you know, that implies that everything is old. And now I'm, like, looking at these games that they've just announced, and some of them will say, this is for the new 3DS family.
Right.
Which actually includes the 2DS, the 3DS, the 3DS XL, and the new 3DS.
Right.
So it's like, it's not really, there's only a limited number of games that are excluding previous
right. It's basically just excluding the DS. So I guess that's my point, is that, you know, someone who has a 3DS XL or a 3DS is not necessarily, they don't have to upgrade to this. I think this is only for the Nintendo hardcore faithful who are going to do this. And I think they look at the sales numbers for the smaller handhelds, which are basically geared at, you know, families who are buying these for their kids who don't want to spend the extra price for the larger handheld. They're going to get the smaller handheld for their kids. I mean, I think you're almost at market saturation with this stuff, you know?
Like, yeah.
And so, like, you're not going to resell basically the same exact system to these families again. And right. So they're like, okay, the people who are going to buy this are older, they have expendable income, they stay really, really current with Nintendo news,
yep.
And they're going to want the XL version. They're not going to want the smaller version.
That's very true. That's very true. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. I don't know if I'm going to get it or not. Like, I was initially...
That's a good... Yeah, your case in point.
And I'm basically, you know, the ideal market for this. I've got it. I love mine. And it's like, unless they come out with games that are exclusive to the new one, there's no real reason for me to upgrade.
Right.
Just for that C-Stick, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if it's worth it. So, like, I'll just have to see. I don't know. Just interesting.
It's like with any system or, you know, like any piece of electronic, it's kind of like, show me the software / show me the games. So, like,
right.
If there's a game that takes advantage of the extra joystick in a way like that, that really hampers gameplay if you can't use that extra joystick. Like,
right.
say there was, you know, more of a, you know, you think about the games that come out on Vita, you know, like the more AAA kind of games, you know, Uncharted and Assassin's Creed, if that kind of, or, you know, Call
kind
of Duty,
those third person kind of things where you're using
third person
for the
or
camera.
Even first person, you know, like kind of controls. It would be nice to do that on a second joystick.
Definitely. And in fact, like Majora's Mask, Zelda Majora's Mask is going to come out for the new 3DS and the 3DS. And it's going to use that C-Stick as a camera thing. And so it's like, I wonder how much that's going to enhance gameplay to actually have control over your camera that way versus some other, you know, way that they do with a touchscreen or some other, you know, control scheme. I don't know. It's like it's kind of one of those wait and see moments. Like, I'm not gonna, you know, pre-order it. I'm not gonna get it on day one.
Right.
But I'm gonna wait and see for another month or so. See what the games review like. See what, you know, different people say about the enhancements. Then make my decision. So.
I almost feel like the place where it will be noticeable is not going to be, okay, well, what are the benefits on this side? But, you know, for instance, take Majora's Mask. It will be, does the the regular 3DS version feels stunted.
Yeah, does it make it harder?
Do you feel restricted?
Right.
Because you don't have that extra joystick.
That's true.
And if you do, then it's like, okay, well, then I'm going to, you know, maybe turn this...
Trade it in.
Trade it in, yeah. Like, spend an extra, what, maybe $50, $100 and get the new one. I think that's going to be the most noticeable difference, at least right off the bat.
Right.
Rather than there being this huge benefit, it'll be like, okay, this one feels like it needs this extra...
For sure.
Piece of hardware.
For sure.
And that's the news. All right, so our main topic this week.
Yep.
We are talking about GameStop, and is it in trouble?
Dum, dum, dum!
We've kind of talked about this before, I think on another podcast. What was that called?
Oh, dude, that's a good question.
I'll try to find that. Let me write this down. I'm going to forget. I'll try to find the podcast.
I can't remember.
And post a link to it on standtargetpodcast.com. I think we were talking about, like, I don't know.
Maybe it was digital games.
Digital games or something like that. I don't know. If I can't find it, it won't be there. If I can't find it, it will be there. How about that? GameStop has released its earnings for, I guess, the last quarter or over Christmas.
Right.
And its total sales during the holiday period were down 6.7% when compared to the same period in 2013. So we have a lot of percentages here.
Oh, no.
They had a pretty strong, this is the whole story, had a pretty strong year leading up to the holiday season. They hired 50% more workers over last year, which equaled 25,000 temporary workers.
Which is awesome for the jobs market.
But it reported disappointing earnings and weak Black Friday sales. And since then, the value of its stock has declined more than 24%.
So you look at, like, the consoles came out last year around this time. So last Christmas... we had this big holiday where, like, maybe the consoles weren't on sale, but they were basically on everyone's Christmas list. And they sold like gangbusters. Like, both consoles sold really, really well and were breaking, like, sales records for consoles in the first year.
And you can see that, like, so the percentages, hardware sales were down 32% when compared to the same period in 2013.
Yikes.
However, software sales were up by 5.8%. I mean, you look at that, like, there are better games this year that came out. More games. There are people who have the new consoles who want the new games. And so that makes sense, you know, there's that balancing act there. Correct. It does intrigue me, though, because both PlayStation and Xbox had some really attractive bundles this holiday season.
But were they at GameStop?
That's a good question. You know, like, I think every retailer had them.
A few of them, yeah.
Maybe people were picking them up wherever they were.
You know, and that's the interesting thing about GameStop to me is that never seems like my go-to place on, like, a Black Friday, for instance.
That's true. I mean, I think we stopped by there, but there was nothing...
there was nothing really that, like, made me want to buy something. Partially because, like... whenever I go out to a place, I want to go to some place that I can get everything at. So it's like, I want to see flash drives. I want to see SD cards. I want to see cameras. I want to see everything. You know, I want to see it all. So that's like Best Buy or Target.
Right.
That's not some place that only exclusively does one thing.
Right.
And so, like, you also, like, for your Black Friday stuff and for your, like, sales and things, you want to look at your high ticket items.
Right.
And so you want to spend a lot of your money on those bigger things. And I don't know. I mean, maybe you think that the console market, because it's been selling so well in the past year, do you think that maybe that's why it's down this year, is because, like, less people have that on their lists? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to say here, other than, like, last year was potentially inflated because of the new consoles.
Well, I think, you know, like, it's a popular thing in the video game industry right now to say, oh, well, brick and mortars are going away and GameStop's going to be non-existent in 5 years. And, like, you know, all this kind of, you know, very flamboyant language.
I think that just comes from people who don't like GameStop.
That's true. I mean, and I'm sure it does. But, you know, and I think GameStop's survival kind of depends on how well they're able to pivot in this environment. You know,
very true.
Everything we've talked about up to this point is true, you know, and all that being the same, you have to look at, okay, where are people getting their games? And GameStop's revenue, it says, some of these stats here, 27% of its revenue comes from trade-ins, and
Well, that's interesting too, because Walmart earlier this year started accepting trade-ins.
Yeah. So like you have competition, new competition there.
Yeah. And that's a place that everyone goes to. Like a lot of people go there for their groceries. A lot of people go there to, you know, like they sell clothing, you know, they have a pharmacy. So it's like, if you just find yourself there, it's like, oh, well, you know, if a kid is like, I need to trade this in, mom's going to Walmart,
right,
I'm just going to go with her and trade this in there.
Well, you think about, you know, like small rural towns, whereas, you know, like the nearest GameStop might be at the mall, you know, an hour and a half away,
an hour away.
You probably have a Walmart in your town, or at least in the next town over, you know?
That's true.
And so you just go get some Walmart credit and pick up a new game.
Yeah.
Were we talking together, or was I talking to someone? I don't even remember who it was.
Or were you having the conversation in your head like I was earlier?
Possibly. Or a dream. I will tell you,
Chris went on a spirit journey
during that 20-hour sleepathon that I had after I came back from. I was dreaming for a good portion of it that I needed to wake up and get running because Goofy and Mickey were waiting for me, and I had to take my picture with them.
That's awesome. Oh, that's so cool. But that's a good reason to get up.
It is a good reason to get up, but that was going on for probably in my mind for probably a good 2 or 3 hours.
Dude, that's hilarious.
I would assume. And it happened both times if I went to sleep as well.
That's really funny.
And so like you have more better access to Walmart, but we were talking to someone who was saying that he took a game to GameStop, was going to get like $12 for it, took it to Walmart, and they gave him like $25.
Wow.
And so like,
that's a big deal.
And I don't know that for sure. Like, I can't say that's going to happen with every game or that's going to happen with you if you're listening. But at least in that instance, it was a better deal to go to Walmart.
Well, it's interesting because like I always look at the trade-in value for games and things like that. And this is one reason why I've never traded in games, is because the value is just like, I would almost rather have this, you know, piece of plastic sitting on my shelf than trade it in for like $5.
Well, it's like, it's like, okay, how much money does this save me? Does this save me just $10? Well, what if I want to play this game again later?
Right.
I'll just keep the $10 or spend the extra $10
and have the game available to me,
yeah,
you know, or to loan to a friend. It's like, why not just give this game that you've gotten everything out of to a friend as a gift? And it's like, there you go.
Yeah.
It may save you more money that way.
Right.
I don't know. It's just, it never made sense to me to trade things in, but if Walmart's given decent money for it, I could see a lot of people going over there. Yeah. So
you have competition there for sure. There's also some stats here about like, so I personally have bought several games this fall digitally. I bought Destiny digitally. I bought Call of Duty digitally. I feel like there's one more.
How is your hard drive space doing?
Oh, it's terrible. I'm already deleting things off.
Yeah, mine's at 98.7%.
I'm gonna have to get an external to handle all this.
My console has a temperature, 98.7%.
Isn't that's normal temperature?
Isn't 98.6 normal?
But I mean, one tenth of a degree is not gonna.
Okay. So it doesn't have a temperature yet, but it's
a
close.
Fever. It does not make.
I mean, I bought things digitally. Something interesting as well, like whenever a family member was looking to buy me a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
I actually wanted them to buy me the digital version of a game from GameStop.
Yeah.
And so like we went to GameStop and she wanted to give me the download code or whatever. Yeah. So she like bought it digitally from GameStop. And it's like, it was the most underwhelming thing ever, I think, because like it basically just printed off the receipt and that was my game.
Well, this
you know?
Is the interesting stat here. And I think that this is more tied into GameStop's future than anything else we've talked about yet. GameStop claims a 30% to 40% market share in the sale of digitally licensed content, such as extra game levels, and a 10% to 15% share of full game downloads. Its overall digital business brings in about $830 million in revenue this year.
Wow. So like that 30% market share of like DLC and things like that, that's because they hard sell like their DLC whenever you buy like a game or pre-order a game from there, and they want you to get the season pass and they want you to do all this other stuff.
Right.
And it's like that works. It works really well. And the same, like I said, the same thing, but I don't know if they're really going to transition into this, if they're going to transition into the digital game, I guess, you know, that market, hardcore and just make that their big thing, they need to be able to present it better than just handing you a receipt with a code on it. Like I would pay them. I would go there and do their thing if they would, you know, give me basically not in a case necessarily, but like a card, like some sort of a card that I could keep or like put on my shelf or put in my drawer to like, you know, with Pokemon on it or something.
I mean,
that,
so they do have that actually, like, you know, some of the cards for Minecraft, like you buy it and it's like a little kind of like, plastic card that would fit in your wallet or whatever.
Yeah.
Gift card is what I'm trying to say. And there's that kind of stuff and there's points. And I think that where their sales probably come from are not you and I who like, hey, if I want something, I'm just going to add money to my Sony wallet or my Xbox Live wallet. You know, it's people who are giving gifts and it's kids who save up their money that don't necessarily have a credit card tied to their online account.
That's right. So they pay cash there for it, and they get the receipt with the download code, and then they go download it.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense to me. That's more the way I feel like it probably works. I really wish that the digital, like, I could go and pre-order a digital thing with them, and go and pick up something like physical that carries my digital code on it or something.
I mean, I think we're in
sort of a cool presentation,
a transitional phase. Whereas because we've talked about like digital pre-orders.
Right.
I mean, they do a good job of including digital incentives.
Right.
But I would love it if you could go to GameStop, you get the digital pre-order, but you also get the physical bonuses as well.
Yeah.
The art books, the statues.
Well, even like 2 weeks ago on the podcast, whenever we were doing the best of 2014, like we were pulling up, you know, physical things because we did a video of it on and we posted that to YouTube. And like you had these physical things and it's like then I pulled up, I was looking downstairs on my shelf for my Destiny game case or my Titanfall game case, and it's like, wait a second, I bought both of those digitally. I have nothing, literally nothing to like to commemorate those things, nothing physical. So once those have run their course on my console and I inevitably delete them, there's going to be nothing to really signify that they even happened.
It's erased from your life.
It's super weird, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just a strange feeling to be like, oh, there's nothing left.
You know? I mean, you know, I do this all the time. Like, I don't remember or memorize, like, the movies I own or the games even that I own, you know? And sometimes I'll just go over and look at them. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's such a fun game. I'm going to pick it up and play it again.
Yeah.
That's a lot harder whenever, like, I mean, how do you do it? You'd have to look at your achievement list or your trophy list, be like, oh, yeah, I remember that game. Then go find it in the store and re-download it, and then you can play it tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird thing, right? Because it's like it'll take like all night to download it.
Yeah, you know? 50 gigabyte game.
Yeah, so it's not like you can just put it in. And even like if you had the physical disc and you deleted it off your console, it takes a minute to install, but it's not nearly as long as it would take to download. So,
yeah.
Dude, gigabit internet can't happen fast enough.
Google Fiber.
Come on.
Nashville.
Let's make this.
They were supposed to announce the new cities soon.
So they delayed that, actually.
It was supposed to be in December.
There's news on that front. They've delayed that because it was initially a little bit harder to figure out which cities were going to get them the contracts fast enough and that sort of thing. I think it'll still be announced for Nashville.
Originally, though, they said that they were going to delay it a month.
It's been a month, yeah. You're right. You're right. You're right, Chris. You're right.
I'm holding them to that, man.
I know, right? Dude, you're holding Google's feet to the fire.
Yeah, I am.
Right here on this podcast.
Yeah. Google, you watch out.
All you Google people who are listening. I mean, you know that they listen to all this. Like, every data on the internet, you put it on the internet, Google knows.
Google's just this entity. It is now Skynet. It is. Sentient. You've been scroogled. You know, like we're talking about GameStop and the fact that sales are declining. Like, I think there are rational reasons for that, why that's happening. I think that they also just have to be careful. You know, like, I think they're doing a pretty good job of trying to transition into things like the digital market and keeping a hold on the trading market. You know, it's still the place that I go because, you know, like, I don't know if I can possibly find what I'm looking for at a Best Buy or a Walmart, but I know that, hey, like, you know, the other day I needed a new Xbox Live headset or Xbox headset.
Yep.
Because the current one shorted out. I went to GameStop because I know I can find one at GameStop.
That was my first stop as well. They didn't have any whenever I stopped there
that's
a couple months ago. And then I went to, like, I was standing there, and he was trying to upsell me to like the next tier, which was $100, and it was like this, you know, crazy, like it's sound canceling, and it's like, yeah, it's, you know, you can communicate with the moon. anyway, so then I was like, no, I'm sorry, this isn't what I want. And so then I just drove across the street to Walmart to, just on the off chance that they might have it.
Yeah,
walk in and they've got like 16 of them.
Well,
and I'm like, wow, this is actually a better selection than the GameStop.
Well, maybe I should just strike what I just said from the record.
I don't know, but it's not the first place I would go. Like, it's not, yeah, like, because initially, like, GameStop, for anything games, GameStop is the place that I just default to go to.
Right.
And it's interesting that you know, to see them potentially going down in sales and losing market share and losing, obviously, stock value.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal. 27% off of a 24. Stock price, 24%?
Yeah.
Off of a stock price is pretty big deal. Like, yeah, that's... that's not a company that is really on sure footing if it can dip that much in like a month.
Well, what's funny is I was reading an article in preparation for this story, and GameStop is one of the highest short sold stocks.
Wow.
Because whereas, you know, people are waiting for it to fall so that they can short sell it. And they... people are treating GameStop like they treated Blockbuster before it went out of business.
Yikes, dude.
This is the problem, though. Like, no one, like, Blockbuster had other things going for it, or had other problems going for it, I think, yeah, because, you know, like, no one's going to go to a Blockbuster and buy digital movie
correct,
rentals. You know, that makes zero sense. And then
they,
you
tried,
know,
though. They tried to do, like, something like that with Blockbuster, some Blockbuster.
It was a streaming service, but you're not going to get an actual physical store,
right?
You know?
Right.
Then you had the advent of Netflix and Redbox. Now you do have things like GameFly, and Redbox does rent out games, but the selection is terrible, and honestly, the prices are as well. You know, say you need a month to complete a game, you might as well buy the thing rather than rent it from Redbox for a month.
Right.
And so. Until it has the same kind of factors, I don't think we should treat it like Blockbuster.
Right.
But they do have to be careful. Like, they have to be vigilant and make sure that that they know what they're doing. Like, the other thing is, too, I love going into GameStop.
Me too, man.
I like looking at the wall of games. Like, it's literally the only place that you can go and kind of get the same kind of feeling you used to get in the video store.
For sure. And also, I went in and actually like bought like their online stuff. Like, whenever you search for like used games, you can search for used games in places close to you.
Yeah.
And like, that was really handy because I was looking for a specific used game for my 3DS, or it was a DS game back in the day. And they had an incredibly good price on it at a place like across town. But it's like, there's, you know, a dozen of these things across the Nashville area. And it's like, which one do you go to? Which one has it in stock?
Right.
What prices are they? And so like, their online stuff, their app and everything is really good actually to shop on. And so, like, but whenever I go in there, everybody's so knowledgeable, super friendly. For like things like that, you can reserve a copy online and then just go in and pay for it and pick it up.
Right.
And so, like, it's just a super easy process. And so, I don't know. I feel like if we lose the GameStops of out of this industry, you're going to miss something. Like, I'm going to miss something. I'm not going to be able to pick up that used game. I'm going to have to wait for Amazon to ship it to me or something.
Oh, man.
At like twice the price.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, there's a lot of that stuff going around, too.
I agree with that, too. You know, there's a lot of, and I don't really know where all the hate for GameStop comes from, other than, you know, just people who just...
other than the fact that they do a credit card where it's like...
20% interest.
Yeah, it takes your firstborn child.
Yeah, one of the worst. I've never heard... do not get the GameStop credit card. Don't get any credit card.
Yeah, don't do credit cards.
But don't get the GameStop credit card for sure.
that one is by far the, like, they cut off your hand.
20% interest monthly, compound interest monthly, makes zero sense.
Well, it also, like, every time I see an advertisement for it, it's so weird that it almost seems like it's geared towards the kids, you know?
They do push it a lot. Oh, like, every single time I'm in there now and I check out, they ask me about it.
But, well, if their stock is going down by 24%, I mean, they got to be pushing something, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway.
You know, but, you know, like, for instance, you know, you made a good point about the used games. I was in there the other day getting that headset, and I happened to, like, be right in front of the used game wall, and I saw Thief. I'm like, hey, how much is Thief going for? Like, you know, I would play that. Last time I saw it, it was, like, $40, you know, on used. I pulled it out. It's, like, $16 used, and I'm like, I'm going to pick this up some like weekend and just beat it over the course of a weekend.
Yeah.
Like, this is a good like purchase. Like,
yeah.
And so like, I love those kind of surprises where it's like, hey, I'm looking at this wall of games. What about this one? You know, like, oh man, I could play that. Like, I'm going to get it, you know, and beat it this weekend or something
right.
like that. You know, so.
We've also got the hard to find games like that you can't find anywhere else. Like the game I was looking for, it's not made anymore. It's from an old legacy system, and so I wanted to be able to find it. I couldn't find it anywhere. Like even on like Amazon and stuff, it was like so inflated in price that I couldn't find it anywhere. And I finally like was like, okay, well, GameStop have it. Mm-hmm. And so then I searched for it, and one of the stores around here just happened to have it. So I mean, it's that type of thing too, where you want to be able to find these legacy game systems, and this is almost the only place left where you can really go and get one.
What was it? GameCube ago. That they were selling, yeah, they were selling GameCubes for like $20.
Yeah, $20 for a GameCube.
That's insane.
That's nuts, dude. Nuts.
And they were like refurbished.
So, yeah, it was refurbished. But it's like the refurbished ones are actually like I've looked into, you know, hey, what does it mean to have a refurbished one? And the refurbished ones are actually almost better than you would get if you got a new one because they've tested it all.
Yeah.
So
well, that's another interesting point. Like, so there was another report that came out either yesterday or the day before about GameStop that they were and are still selling refurbished units, Xbox 360 units that red ringed because they developed this, they figured out how to fix them.
Yeah.
And developed this proprietary machine that some $10 an hour laborer can now operate that fixes the red ringed Xbox 360s.
That's nuts, dude. That's nuts. And it's nuts that they have the infrastructure to go, well, wait a second. These, you know, so many of these systems are usable.
Right.
We can rebuild him. We can make him stronger.
Yes. it's like some kind of weird robot movie.
Oh, man.
But yeah. So anyway, I don't think that GameStop's going away anytime soon.
No.
I think that – I don't even think it really honestly it's on the verge of going away.
You would hope not, but –
I hope it doesn't because it's just like, you know, what's next after that? The local comic shop after everyone starts reading digital comics?
Actually, physical comic sales are way, way up.
Like, I mean, that's good.
Comics. Okay. So here's the thing is like comic sales are the only piece of media that has really resisted the digital, like
physical media.
Yeah. The physical media that's resisted the digital movement. There's lots of good digital things. There's actually a cool, subscription service that you can actually go and it's like a Netflix thing where there's over like there's hundreds and hundreds of digital comics that for one like low rate you can get access to all of them and there's some really good ones in there like name Image Comics and Dynamite Comics and stuff anyway but so like, that's happening but honestly like comic sales are up and physical comics are still a big thing and they're still the thing to get like digital comics sales haven't really hurt the physical.
That's awesome.
So yeah, anyway.
I mean, yeah, you have other trends on this topic. You know, you have Best Buy is basically a showroom for Amazon now. Movies are cheaper.
It's true.
TVs are cheaper. Everything's cheaper on Amazon than it is at Best Buy because they don't have a physical store to operate and all these, you know, retail employees to employ in various locations. They just have to pay for shipping and their warehouses and their staff there. And, you know, so that's taking place across the board. Things like, I can't tell you when the last time I bought a book at Barnes & Noble was, but I go in there all the time to look at books.
And then and you order Amazon them off of Amazon?
Yeah.
So I'm actually, I need to go in and buy I Am Jackie Robinson, the new book from Brad Meltzer and Chris Eliopoulos.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm probably not going to – because like the only thing about those books is like I've ordered some of those off of Amazon before and gotten them in damaged or something like that in shipping. And so I almost want to just go to a store and, you know, that sort of thing. So
yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, you know, like that's a good point. The only way to guarantee that, hey, I'm going to walk out of here with a good copy of this book is to buy it in the store.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, I also think about they do a great job with records. I've never gotten a damaged record from Amazon.
Not at all.
And I buy most of my – they're cheaper. Again, they're cheaper and I buy most of my vinyl records off of Amazon rather than going to the local record store, except for on Record Store Day, which are exclusive releases, you know.
Which is amazing.
Which is a lot of fun.
So good.
Every single year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we've pretty much covered this whole topic.
We've exhausted this.
Now that we've spun off onto records and Record Store Day, I think we've talked sufficiently about is GameStop in trouble? Where we started with this thing. So anyway.
Yeah. You can find us online at standtargetpodcast.com. Stay tuned next week. It will actually be a pre-recorded episode.
Yes.
Because John is going to be
out of town again.
In California. He's leaving me.
California.
Leaving me by myself. And there's no way I can juggle the podcast by myself.
I just imagine you like sitting here just talking to yourself and like switching microphones, like switching chairs. Like yes. you try to like imitate my voice and things.
If we had properly planned it out, I probably could have figured out a special guest,
a co-host. Yeah, that could have been
with
cool.
a specific topic next time.
Next time I go away, Chris.
Oh, you did that with Ike.
Oh, I did that. I totally did that with Ike.
Man, I'm slacking.
Well, it was the Destiny review as well, so it was like kind of like...
It was needed.
It was one of those things that like those big events that just kind of you have to cover.
That was one of my favorite episodes, though.
Yeah, because you got to listen to it and not know what was going to happen.
Exactly.
Was it just super exciting and was the anticipation like...
You know? I thought I would be way more nervous than I was.
Yeah?
That
we would like, you know, destroy it and burn down the whole podcast?
No, not that. maybe that.
Maybe a little bit.
Actually, today we ate lunch in the mall.
Yeah.
Because that's a cool place
Where
to
eat. Where is this story going, Chris?
And while I'm in line at Chick-fil-A, all of a sudden the fire alarm goes off.
Oh, that's where the story's going.
And it just sits there and goes off for the next half hour. No one leaves or runs out. Or does what you're supposed to do during a fire alarm.
That's what I always find is during fire alarms, no one believes it.
I was like, until I see flames and or smoke.
Or firemen.
We saw the firemen.
What?
Because they have to show up because the alarm's going off.
What if there was like a carbon monoxide leak or something that you couldn't see?
I did think about that afterwards. I was like, what if there was some odorless gas
that
we were all breathing in?
Yeah, what if you just like got anthraxed or something?
Well, I mean... What can you do at that
That's
point?
That's true.
You're already, it's probably already contaminated.
You're already screwed at that point.
My chicken sandwich.
That's true.
My anthrax sandwich. I mean, might as well just finish your lunch and then go back to work.
Anyway.
I don't know where that was going. Oh, so yeah, like I guess I could have done the podcast by myself next week.
Yes.
But no, you get the pleasure of hearing John and I talk about topics that are at least a week old.
They're not a week old. We actually have some really cool stuff that we're going to talk about.
Yes, you should tune in next week.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll talk about some cool stuff. We're actually going to do it right now.
Yep.
Yep.
Right this very second.
So if you want some more hilarity, just listen next week.
As much as this has spiraled out of control in the last 5 minutes, I can't imagine starting here and seeing how far it gets out of control.
I hope we do start
late
here.
In the podcast.
You can find us on Twitter at ChrisWright250
and JohnWright777
and at StayOnTargetPod. Always online at StayOnTargetPodcast.com. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.